Great. I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 5th meeting of the Public Works Projects and Transportation Committee. My name is Kathy Nolan, and I'm the newly appointed chair of this committee. Maybe as part of doing the role, we can have the members of the committee give a brief introduction.
Sure.
Thank you for being present.
Deputy Chair Litz.
I'm here. Been here. Seems like too long some days, but let's see, this is my sixth term. Been on this committee, I believe, for all. I think I've been here all the terms. Legislator District 9, farmer, engineer. I guess that's it.
That's great. Thank you.
Legislator Donaldson.
Here. Joseph Donaldson. I'm from District 8. This is my very first term. I work for the Cakes and Water Department, so I'm a little bit familiar with some of the stuff that you're doing, so.
Legislator Kovacs.
Good evening. Jason Kovacs. I'm a new legislator. District 3, Town of Ulster, Town of Kingston, Town of Saugerties. Look forward to serving with everyone here and learning more about these projects.
Legislator McCullough.
That's me. Greg McCullough, District 6. Our first term, happy to be here. Looking forward to working with you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say a few words about the show here, the process for the committee, before we even get into the agenda. And part of that is the way that we actually call questions and bring resolutions to the table to discuss and to vote on and to approve. And then I want to say just a word about resolutions. I represent District 22, which is the westernmost districts of the county, Chandaken, Olive, Hardinburg, and Denning. And it takes all four of those towns to get the same number of people as all the other districts have, because we're so rural. So it's quite a rural district. This is going into my third term in the legislature, not all consecutive, but third term. And I've had questions along the way about the way we bring resolutions to the table at each of the meetings. And it seems like there's been some discussion at some of the other meetings as well. So when the chair reads the title of the resolution, then there can be a motion. And that motion can be to discuss, and then at a later point we can have a motion to approve or not. But in order to approve a resolution, we have to have a motion to approve. So I prefer it if somebody thinks they're going to vote in favor of a resolution, that you move that resolution and you just move it to approve it. And that way it gets onto the floor and discuss it, we don't have to remember. If there's nobody that seems in favor, then we might need to have a motion to discuss. We can do that. But I suggest that you're fine to do other things if you are so moved. But before we would take a vote, we would need somebody to have moved to adopt the resolution. And I will always ask for all those in favor and all those opposed and any abstentions. Resolutions, it turns out one of the most useful things I learned in going to the Association of Counties when I was a first term legislator was what needs to be in a resolution. And so I just want to say a couple of words about that. The most important thing is the title. There should be one topic that is addressed in a resolution, and that topic should be named in the title. Title should also tell us the purpose of the resolution. What is it supposed to do? And who is responsible? That will be either who is responsible for bringing it forward, or if it's a contract, who the contract would be with that the county is entering into. Then there's the whereases, which is basically why would we do this, and the resolved, what actually will happen. And then financial impacts, which would be what will it cost and where does the money come from. we will take all of the resolutions as they are in front of us unless we feel there should be amendments. If we want to see amendments, we need the consent of the sponsor or sponsors in order to make amendments, but we can do that in this committee. Make sense? Anybody with experience along the way have any comments or other suggestions? All right. I think with that, we can turn to tonight's agenda. And I look for a motion on approving the December 11th minutes.
I'll make the motion.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Joe. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Resolution number 9, establishing capital project number 688, SUNY Ulster, Americans with Disabilities Act. Compliance, amending the 2024 to 2029 capital improvement program and the 2024 capital fund budget. SUNY Ulster.
I'll move it.
Second. Do we have anybody from the university here? Not yet. I'm not sure if we're expecting representatives. Yeah. So this was a project that was not included in the 2024-2029 capital program. The work has been presented at Public Health, I believe, at another committee. I heard some discussion. Apparently due to the flooding of an elevator shaft, and the resolution states that this access provides the only ADA compliant access in the to the DeWitt Library, and it's currently inoperable, so we don't have ADA accessibility. This resolution provides for design and re-engineering of the mechanical room and comes in at $2 million, of which 50% would be eligible for reimbursement from DASNY, from the New York State Dormitory Authority. And the resolution proposes to go out for bonding. Any questions or concerns? You feel comfortable to go ahead and vote on this? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. One thing, I don't think it applies to that resolution, but we will likely get questions about bonding on many of our projects. And so when we get to some of the ones where it might be a little more controversial, we should probably discuss that. There are some members of the legislature who may feel that we should no longer be bonding anything. My personal feeling is we probably should be bonding large projects, but maybe not small projects at this point. So we can have a discussion about that. Resolution number 19, amending capital project number 598, ARPA project, Community Wellness Health, Crisis Stabilization Center, renovation, City of Kingston, amending the 2024 Capital Fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. Either of you want to speak on this?
So this is a new building, the county owns.
Please, let's get a motion.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll make.
Go. Second. Thank you.
So the county purchased this building back in 2022, in November 2022. It's a four-story building. It's in the center of Broadway, next to the old Kingston Hospital. It was purchased with ARPA funds with the idea of turning it into a mental health hub. So it's four stories. The fourth floor is home for the new mental health department. The first floor will be a crisis stabilization center, which this resolution is designed to deal with. It's going to be basically an emergency room for people suffering from mental health crisis. It's a 24/7 operation, and this resolution will amend the capital to for construction purposes. And the first floor only, subject to the WIPS law, which means that project needs individual contracts from all the different disciplines, so it needed to be bid out that way. We are on budget. We're not going to be bonding this project. We'll be using a mixture of ARPA funds and opioid settlement funds to make it happen.
Any questions from the committee?
Okay, what's the address of this property?
368 Broadway.
Got it. Are there other tenants on the property besides the county?
Yes. So there's a four-story building. There are currently tenants on the second floor. The first floor is going to be renovated. There's no one there right now. And on the fourth floor is the mental health department itself.
And those commercial tenants, I'm sorry, those commercial tenants, they're paying rent to the county?
Yes. And this body approves all leases.
Let me get Legislator McCullough and then
Somadia?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't thought of this in reading through the resolutions, but an organization that I'm affiliated with, I'm the voluntary chair of the board, is a tenant in this building. So I have recused myself from voting on anything directly related to Somadi. This is more remote, but I'm wondering, maybe I should have you step in, Legislator Litz, as deputy chair, and I should recuse on this because Somadi is a tenant. I mean, those contracts are set up a while ago, but.
Who did the engineer?
Amarito Design Services. Okay. They specialize in healthcare.
I can do that.
So I will step out as chair and can step out of the room.
Okay, are there any additional questions?
Rob, is this going to be ran by private groups or a county group?
Is anyone here from mental health? It will be contracted out, from what I understand. I don't know that an operator has been chosen, selected yet.
Okay.
But it will be a private vendor.
Okay.
That's the idea.
This resolution is only for the capital improvements to the building, right?
Yes. Okay.
Any other questions? If not, all those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstain.
I'll abstain.
Vote carried 4-0-1.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
All right, moving to resolution number 20. Now, there are several resolutions here that we would normally consider addressing as a block. My thought is, since it's a fairly short agenda, that it might be helpful to do them individually. And as we go through, if you pay, you know, as we look at them, you'll see what the basis for having blocked them would have been. The ones that we might have considered blocking would be resolutions 20, 21, and 22 as the first block, I think. So let's do them one at a time unless we feel like we're getting, you know, get the hang of it and want to go to blocking them. We can look at that again. So resolution number 20, approving the execution of a contract for $942,500 entered into by the county with Barone Construction Group, Inc., Department of Public Works. Motion?
I'll move it.
Legislator Litz, Legislator McCullough. Thank you.
So this is one of the three contracts that go along with the capital project that you just approved. Any contract over $50,000 needs legislative approval.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those three.
And for the record, I guess I could be recused on these, but I'm going to say that the one that was about doing the capital project worried me. This is about this project, which does not involve the organization I have a voluntary arrangement with. So this would be 25% federal and 75% county funded, and includes the demolition of some of the walls, I guess. So rebuilding. Is that true?
No, that's, I'm sorry. It's, just want to clarify that it's, we're going to use ARPA funds and opioid settlement funds.
For this, for, yeah, that's what it says in the prior resolution.
Yeah.
Does it say that in this resolution too? Because I had, made, from my notes, I had 75% plus for county. So 75% is other and 25% federal. The other is opioid, as specified in the prior. Alassus money is $635,811, and the New York State Attorney General Office for Opioid Settlement is $1,084,381. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Resolution number 21, approving the execution of a contract for $378,000 entered into by the county, J&J SAS Electric, Department of Public Works. Motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Second, Legislator Donaldson.
It's the same. It's another. It's the electrical contract. Because it's fixed, it has to be paid out each
time. It's got to be better for that.
Yeah. Right. It's no general.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm going to abstain on this one.
On the basis of?
I've done some work in the past for SAS Electric.
Thank you. So the vote will be.
4-0.
Resolution number 22, approving the execution of the contract amendment for $690,000 entered into by the County Southeast Mechanical Corporation Department of Public Works. Moved by Legislator Donaldson, second by Legislator Litz. Anything further to say?
This is the third contract.
Any questions or comments from the committee? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? That's unanimous. Thank you. So you see, we could have blocked those and just said all the contracts dealing with the 368 Broadway project. And if you have more than two or three resolutions on a topic, where they're all that similar, it can help. The next five resolutions are similar as well. So let's do a couple of them, and then if we want to block the rest, we can do that. That comes. Resolution number 52, authorizing the chair of the Elsa County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Esopus as an ARPA SLRF subrecipient to improve Cass Landy Park, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience. Is there a motion?
I'll second it because Joe's going to.
I'll make the motion.
He's going to make the motion. It's from Esopus.
Excellent. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Who's been seconded? Nate Hitlack from the ARPA, what do you call yourself?
I'm the Director of Recovery and Resilience.
Good, thank you. Do you have something to tell us about this?
Yeah, I'd be happy. And if I can I just introduce ARPA? I don't know if everybody's.
Nice, thank you. I'm going to do that at the end, but it makes sense since we have ARPA resolutions here.
Okay. So the next five are all funded by the American Rescue Plan. Which came after CARES. A lot of people are typically familiar with pandemic relief, and CARES came first, and then there was ARPA. So you may hear ARPA, SLFRF, it's the State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, and it is pandemic relief. There are multiple uses that go into ARPA, and this is one of the ones that is a grant program to municipalities which have been awarded at this point, and now because of the because they're intermunicipal agreements, actually they all need to be approved by the legislature. So you will see a number of different projects from each municipality regarding parks and playgrounds. And this first one, Esopus, is $50,000 for Cass Landy Park to make an accessible playground.
Any questions? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 53, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Gardner as an ARPA SLFRF subrecipient to improve Majestic Park, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience. Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
And a second?
I'll second.
Any questions for Director Litwack? So this is for what kind of improvements? They said something called a pump track fencing and accessible walkways. What is a
pump track?
Is that exercise?
Yeah, so I didn't know either, and I was actually very excited to look at this. It is something new to the county. I think that's an appropriate way to specify it. It's really, the project itself is three things. It'll be the pump track, it'll be new fencing, and it'll be new sidewalks. So there are two improvements of the three that are, I think, understandable. The pump track itself is actually this, it'll be next to a skate park. So they're kind of designed to work together. But essentially you can take a scooter, a bike, on the pump track, and just by the way that the concrete pump track is designed, it'll have these concrete undulations that go in a circle, is the way I understand it. And because you are kind of like when you're on a swing and you pump to propel yourself, you can do the same thing on a bike without pedaling through this pump track. So you can go around and around and around, going up and down on the bike, and kind of have this fun going over these concrete waves. So it seems pretty neat, and it's something new.
I learned something today.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 54, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Lloyd as an ARPA SLF RF subrecipient to improve Village Field with the Lewis C. DeStassi Pavilion, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Anything additional to add on this one? This is for $100,000 for pavilion and bathroom. Any comments, questions? Legislator McCall?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Resolution number 55, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Marbletown as an ARPA SLF RF subrecipient to create Grady Park and High Falls Gateway Improvements, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience. This is $100,000 for improvements to the Village Field. Motion. Legislator McCullough, second. Legislator Donaldson.
No, sir.
Any questions or comments? Oh, I think I read the description for the prior resolution. This is the $100,000 for improvements to the Grady Park and High Falls Gateway. So it is basically a historical rehabilitation to B&H Canal aspects of that park and improved access. Any questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain.
For the purposes of?
We're designing the park.
Employment. Thank you. Resolution number 56, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Platteville as an ARPA SLF RF subrecipient to improve the Thomas Felton Community Park, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience.
I'll move.
Second by Legislator McCullough. Any comments or questions? Town of Platteville is going to put playground equipment at this community park. And I guess I would just have one question, which is, has anybody raised any questions about the extent, about the nature of the materials in the playground equipment? There are concerns that are starting to be raised about some materials used on playgrounds may degrade rapidly into microplastics that can then result in an exposure. So if we could just send, from my perspective, I'd be happy to just send word back to look at that. And if there are going to be any plastics that are involved, that they be durable and that the town, in this case Platicville, look at materials to make sure that it's all safe for playground use. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, mm-hmm. What's the flooring?
Yeah, on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have that information right now. I'd be happy to find out. Get back to you.
Yeah, I don't think that this funding addresses changing the ground cover. But it's the right kind of question in light of this issue about materials in our parks causing exposures that we would prefer not to have children.
Yeah, I've noticed that in the news, and I understand. I heard your comment, absolutely. I didn't really, when it was, I was going through these contracts, I didn't really look at them through that lens, so, but I'd have to kind of look back, see closer at it.
Yeah, appreciate the question. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor, Resolution 56?
Aye.
And any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 57, moving to UCAP resolutions. Establishing capital project number 687 for UCAP rolling stock purchase to in the 2024, amending the capital fund budget, Ulster County Area Transit.
I'll move it.
There a second? Second, Legislator McCullough. Well, now I've learned your first name, Scott, but Tony, would one of you like to say anything about this for us?
Yeah, so this this particular resolution is for the purchase of replacement buses for existing vehicles that are at or past their useful life. These would be for two 35-foot Killink buses that we desperately need.
Battery electric?
Yes, these two are EVs, fully electric buses.
Yeah, I thought this was for one bus. Or 2.2 million plus change.
Two buses.
2.6. Okay. Does our backup have that? No, these two buses. Yeah, I did as well. How much does a bus usually, electric bus usually cost?
These are $1 million.
Yeah, $1 million. So $2 million.
Yeah, 1.3.
Yeah, so that makes sense. And this would be 100% federal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
What's the useful life? The useful life of these buses is about 10 plus years. Okay. So we can get about 10 to 12,
okay,
according to the manufacturer.
Any other questions from the committee? Are we at the point where we feel that we've resolved some of the issues about charging and distance that can be covered by the electric buses? Are
yes.
we totally thrilled about this, or are there
Those
still
are really
reservations?
Good questions.
That's a great question.
Yeah. So, you want me to?
This is your arena, my friend.
Okay. You know, we have a capital project coming up that's to add more charging infrastructure at the UCAP facility, solar rooftop, charging infrastructure, backup generator that's capable of powering the, not just the facility, but also, you know, the charging. Each bus, as they're currently set, charges at about, you know, 90 kilowatt hours, you know, the time. And the goal of that is to, you know, limit the amount of energy that we pull down at one time. These buses will, the buses that we've ordered have about a 200 kilowatt hour bigger battery than the existing ones. And, you know, it's true that the buses that we've ordered from New Flyer, those have not, you know, it hasn't been a perfect rollout. But those buses are now in service. They're actually running all day, every day, out of necessity. And, you know, they're,
the software issues are being addressed by New Flyer, I think that we're kind of at the bleeding edge, you know, of this technology. And we've, you know, taken some of this money, you know, from the Volkswagen, you know.
Settlements.
Yeah, the Volkswagen settlement, and that's what's, you know, gone to purchase these. So, yeah, we're kind of at the bleeding edge, and those bugs are really being worked out, because those buses are being worked right now.
Go ahead, legislators.
How long does it take to charge the bus?
It's a good question, too. You know, it depends on how much right now we throttle it, because we don't want to incur too much demand charge from the utility. But those buses can come in at about 40%, you know, 40% charge, and get back up to about 80 in about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay.
So what we've...
Better than I heard.
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I say it's better than what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and those can get back in service pretty quickly.
And it depends on temperature and other factors.
Yes, it very certainly
much so.
Does.
Very, very much so.
How long is the charging? How long can you run the bus?
So those buses will run about, it's a combination of hours of service and it's a combination of miles. You know, right now those buses will not get to Phoenicia and back because of the smoke. But that bus will run around Kingston all day. It'll do the mall run. It'll do the Kingston runs.
It'll run the yellow runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me bring in Director Laval and then come back to the committee.
And just to kind of add on to that by saying that there was an electrification plan that was done several years ago to look at the routes, to look at the length of the routes, and what in the near term with the technology that's available now would be possible to electrify, to run an electric bus on. And then as the technology improves, as we test the technology and we better understand what conditions it works best in, and it's improved and we buy the next version of the bigger battery bus and the better technology bus, then we step those out in the next routes as there are, you know, as we roll it out across the system. So that's part of the deployment plan.
Legislator McCullough.
How many electric buses do you currently have?
Currently we have three full-size 35-foot electric buses. We also have three vans, which we use for paratransit trips.
And the deputy executive, to tell us how many more are coming in 2024 or 2025?
Well,
how far?
There should be
more,
four total. Buses, and
two are in order.
Yeah.
And
these two.
Did you under consideration
if we pass this? Yes.
What's the number of our total fleet?
So we currently have 38 buses in the fleet.
And we're going to replace all of those by 2030.
The electrification is in 2030 for the bus fleet. You know, we really have to look at useful life as they go out. I think the larger, the goal is 2035, where technology is available.
So the Green Fleet policy called for making the transition to electric vehicles in many other areas prior to the electric buses because of the technical difficulties of a bigger weight being carried by those batteries for long distances.
It's about $40 million.
Are any of them hybrids, the buses?
We do have some hybrids. The hybrids are, it's an interesting question because the hybrids get worse gas mileage than the regular diesel bus, believe it or not, because you're lugging around a battery.
Mm.
Yeah. But they do make a hybrid.
Okay.
And I'm sure that the technology's improved since we purchased the original.
How old are the ones you got?
They're about 10 years old.
About 10 years old.
Yep.
So they're at the end of their service life.
So this is an important discussion because this committee should really know what we're doing and be ambassadors for the things we think are good, and if we think there's any problems, then we can work with UCAT on how to address that, UCAT and the executive's office. Any further questions, comments tonight?
Yeah. How do they charge in 0-degree weather?
We actually, all the buses charge inside the garage. Yeah, they charge inside the facility. The facility is kept at a baseline, you know, temperature. And that is a good question. I think cars and vehicles do charge outside, but we do charge them in the garage, kind of necessity for the fleet. Having that bus get down to, you know, zero and having that bus have to heat and, you know, keep climate control and all those things would seriously harm, you know, impact the distance, the range, the hours of service that you could actually take that vehicle.
Great questions.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Legislator Kovacs. All right. Resolution number 59, establishing capital project number 689 for UCAT. Less than 30-foot rolling stock purchase, 2024, amending the capital fund budget, Ulster County Area Transit.
So this is a little bit different. This is
let me get a motion. Legislator McCall. Second. Slater Donaldson. Thank you.
My apologies.
No problem.
These are for some shorter buses. These are for four cutaways. Depending on the route and the circumstance, we don't always need a 35-foot bus. We're trying to drive a 35-foot bus through the streets of New Paltz might not be most effective way to move people around. So we are in desperate need of cutaway buses, shorter buses for our routes, and this will greatly, greatly help the department in getting people to where they need to be.
Any questions or comments? On the committee?
I'm guessing four buses would reflect the different routes, red, blue, but not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Where needed.
Where needed is probably the best way to address it, but to specifically answer your question, the yellow and the blue, the Kingston routes that we're probably most used to seeing, are typically handled by the bigger buses.
Okay.
They're more often ridden. We need the capacity.
And both this and the resolution number 57 are slated to have bonds. Resolution 57 for the larger buses is for $2+ million. This is for $500,000. We have to fully discuss it here, but I think it would be good to come prepared for ways and means of why this would be a bond. In resolution number 59, we are applying for grant funding, and so there would need to be money put up, I think, ahead of time to buy this, and then it'd be reimbursement. So I think you can make the argument, but at $500,000, I think we might get some questions, and I let it slip by in the ARPA grants. We have a couple of those that are down at $150,000, and there are folks, I think, that are going to question and have said that they don't accept that we will have a default to have bonding. And their default is we won't have bonding, and they want a justification for why it would be bonded. So I think to have that on Thursday would be helpful. And anybody on the committee who has an opinion about that, we can bring it up.
I would just offer that I'll take that back to budget and fiscal and discuss with them.
But thank you. And also, Director Litwick, some of the ARPA grants are put down for bonds as well, and that you may receive a question about why we don't just use county monies and pay directly and then get reimbursed from ARPA.
Happy to answer any questions, but I need to understand that a little bit more and what projects might be concerned.
Yeah, I'm in a poor position to give you that information since I'm happy to bond for even small amounts, but I think that there are some people who are feeling that with the interest rates they are, that it's not necessarily to the county's advantage to have certain kinds of bonds. I have not had information presented to me that convinces me of that from legislators who claim this. So I'm willing to hear from them, I'm willing to hear from you, and I haven't formed a definitive opinion. The place where it does start to make a little sense to me is if we're bonding $150,000 for a playground, could we just pay that and save ourselves some hassle
The part where I'm confused is how bonds come in, because this is federal money that we have received.
We've already received it.
And I don't exactly understand. There's no bonding involved in the project. So.
Okay, so I'm going to add
that's
this.
What I thought.
Yeah, I'm going to ask this. Oh, I'm sorry. I've missed. I'm giving you some DPW project where this is going to be an issue. It's not UCAD.
I apologize.
Well, no problem.
And they are ahead of us. We can discuss it.
I was confused. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just misread my own notes.
And we do carry the ARPA.
Yes. So we already have that money, and we will pay for those projects.
Correct.
That's a good thing. Any other questions or comments on these two resolutions, on these resolutions?
These are electric buses?
These are not.
Cutaways are not.
Yeah, the market availability for
what was the question? Can we get that on the record? I didn't hear it.
I asked if the four buses were electric buses, and they said no.
Oh, these smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cutaway market right now there's none available electric supplier except for smaller like retrofitters where you buy a vehicle, they take out the engine, mm-hmm. they take out the transmission, they give you a electric bus that has no warranty, has no supply chain for parts. You know, UCAT tends to keep its equipment for a long time, and you know, it's a credit to like Will and his staff. How long they keep our stock and rolling, because they will replace engines, transmissions, they will weld in new frames, you know, mm-hmm. or new material in the frame to keep it rolling. And so they do a tremendous job, you know, keeping what's an older bus fleet actually operational. And we're concerned, you know, right now because the market is such that there's not, you know, not a cutaway supplier out there, you know, that can supply it and have like that supply chain backing it up. You know, and know that that company is going to be there. You know, I think some of the companies that currently exist, like Lightning eMotors, their stock is, you know, pennies at this point. And it's because, you know, they can't keep up with the demand. They can't sell the vehicles because supply chains, I mean, it's kind of a mess. It's still a going ahead.
Yeah, just to add to that, not only is it that it's not available and it's only an aftermarket kind of product that is available, these cutaways also don't have the 10-year lifespan that the larger buses do. They're typically 5 years. Mm-hmm. So kind of when we look at this big picture, the electric buses, the full-size electric buses have very long build-out times. You know, they last longer, but you know, you have mm-hmm. to wait over a year to get a bus. These are available right now. We need them right now. They have a shorter lifespan. They'll come into the fleet, do the job that they need to do, and hopefully by the time we're ready to buy the next round of cutaways, we'll have more options to evaluate.
Are they gas or diesel?
They're going to be diesel.
Diesel?
Yeah. I think they're diesel.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they're diesel. These are Ford F-350, 450s. Mm-hmm. Chess, yes.
So they have 6.7s in them then.
Yeah, it's a big chassis.
They'll last a lot longer than the 5 years you think.
Not a lot.
It's
Will's very happy.
It's the frames that rot, you know, in the, yeah. the snow and ice.
If you said 6.0 or 6.4, I'd tell you, don't even buy them. But 6.7 is a good motor.
And I think this is a good plan to go ahead and get what we need with what's available. And over that 5 years, maybe we can look, in addition to electric as an option, maybe if we make sure that it's diesel and we look at biodiesel and other options over the 5 years, that might be a viable alternative.
Can I add Please. A little bit? In the summertime, we do buy biodiesel.
Huh?
Yeah. So it's too thick and viscous in the wintertime, mm-hmm. so we have to have a different mix. But in the summertime, we do purchase biodiesel.
I have to hear that.
Yeah.
Great.
Can you cut the biodiesel with kerosene?
You know, if you look at the orders, they're in the margin seasons, you know, the fall and the spring, they do.
They
you can see the kerosene, you know, and its ratio to, yeah.
Okay.
Good discussion.
But I couldn't tell you the specifics about how much, you know, what time of the year. But I do know that they cut it at some point to make it, you know, something that flows.
Anything else? Hearing none questions, call this one. All in favor of resolution number 59?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 61, establishing capital project number 682, 2024 DPW guide rail replacement program, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges.
So moved.
Second, legislator McCullough. Any questions? This is pretty straightforward. The county's DPW will replace the guardrails. They do a good job. This one does specify bonding for $150,000. So might be good to have some reason for that when you bring this to Ways and Means, when this is being looked at Ways and Means. Anything else? All in favor of resolution number 61?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 63, establishing capital project number 683, 2024 DPW bridge flag response program, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges.
Moved.
Let's give this one to legislator Donaldson. And would you like to say anything about this?
No, these are just recurring capitals we have every year. So this New York State Department of Transportation, they do biannual bridge inspections, and they send us their feedback. Based on the feedback, we then go and do corrective action, take corrective action. We use shot creep, things like that, to improve the structure of the bridge, which then improves the bridge overall.
Do we currently have any red flag bridges?
So none in 2024. Mm-hmm. I think in 2025 there were five.
And are they closed?
No. They were corrected.
Oh, they were corrected.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You said 2025.
I'm sorry. 2023. 2023 they are corrected.
Do you have any with yellow flags?
Yes. Yeah. In 2023 there were 20, I believe.
Were they all fixed?
They're in the process of being fixed.
Okay. Good.
We did the red flags first, and then turned to the list of yellow flags.
Yeah, red flags.
And what does a 1P LA safety flag indicate? PIA safety flag is not yellow, not red, but just take a look at it.
That has to be immediately resolved. Uh-huh. And when I say resolved, we can just close a bridge. We can close it to one-way traffic only, but that usually sparks a larger project that you mm-hmm. will see.
Put a weight limit,
something like that.
And has any of that happened for this bridge?
For the one for last year, that was corrected.
Uh-huh.
That was in 23.
And we don't know about 24 yet?
No. So we're just trying to get in front of
So the statistics we have are what you had to deal with in 2023. Any other questions?
Do we have in-house people that can do inspections or?
No, this is a requirement in New York State Department of Transportation.
So we can do our own inspections?
We do. We have engineers that we do. But this is a requirement from New York State Department of Transportation.
It's a federal requirement. Federal government requires every bridge to be inspected every other year, and they pass that responsibility down to the state. And even if it's town, county, village, city bridge, it's still inspected by either state inspectors or consultant inspectors hired by the state.
But we do have the in-house personnel to do the repairs.
Yep.
And then is there an automatic kind of re-inspection or following repairs, or does it just resume its place in the list after?
I assume it just resumes its place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand. Yep.
You want to ask the question?
No, I was just saying I only asked about in-house, so maybe we can see things for ourselves before somebody right. comes to us.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean, those are required inspections, but their guys are out and looking at the bridges all
that's
the
good.
Time.
That's my job.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they yeah. get a complaint from the public okay. or one of the supervisors, they can go out and start in on it, and then maybe that bridge gets repaired before it even gets
right.
inspected and
right.
flagged. Yeah. Nice point. All right. Any other discussion on resolution number 63? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 65, establishing capital projects numbers 684, 685, and 686 for the 2024 DPW bridge program and amending capital project number 652, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways, and Bridges.
So moved.
I'll second.
Second by Legislator McCullough. Anything to say on this? These resolution and these bridges?
Yeah, these four bridges are going to be done in-house. These are the four bridges that we do in-house. Typically do between three and four every year. The amending Marshall Bridge was from last year. We did not do that last year, so that's why we're amending that.
Great. Questions from the committee? I will call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 67, authorizing the chair to execute a license agreement with Santa Fe Uptown Restaurant for usage of county-owned property for a patio project, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. Is there a motion?
Motion.
And second, the legislator McCullough. Can you describe this project?
It's a lease. We lease three parking spots to Santa Fe for their outside patio.
And the
county
receives $6,400 per year?
Per year. Last year, the last 5 years, it was $1,200 a year. We negotiated up to $6,400 for next.
There have been some comments that was it a fair and reasonable price for what was being leased. Any questions from the committee? I would just say that there have been questions about this arrangement in the past, and one question I had that I think I know the answer to, but I'd like to hear if it's official or not, but this agreement allows the Santa Fe employees and guests to park in those spots or just the employees.
It's for the three.
Yeah, there's no parking.
They have,
their patio is built over the three spots.
There is no parking.
Yeah. See,
so they're not leasing three spots next to the patio?
No. It's just for the patio.
All right. Does the absence of those three parking spots cause us any problem in terms of parking for Ulster County employees and elected and appointed officials? No, I can say that I occasionally do park over there next to the patio, and I've never encountered a lack of space in the small parking lot that's next to the patio during the times that I had need of.
I don't think it causes any concern. I mean, you could always use more parking. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, it's been there for how many years?
It's been there
20 yeah. years now.
I want to say at least 10.
12, yeah, 10 or 15. Maybe.
Yeah, so as an effect, that yeah.
All right.
if it impacts one person.
Yeah, well, that's probably how I will get the question yeah. if it comes on Thursday, and I'd like to know the answer to it. Right? I mean, I think that it is fair to say that having more parking is a benefit, and so was $1,000-something a year a good payment point for what we were giving up? This looks like it's a healthier payment.
So I negotiated with the owner. And how I got to that price was basically we have three spots out there. We charge $1 an hour per spot. And I multiply the times a year and talk to them about
it. It would be like parking a car.
Yeah. Right. That's a defensible process for coming up with a price. Great.
That's how the prices are set for the street. The downtown businesses. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That put their summer eatery, spaces.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. they make a calculation, calculate the amount of time that the space is, you know, typically occupied, and make a fair assessment that way.
Great. So we're now in line with both Ulster County's parking charges and the City of Kingston's parking charges, street parking charges. Is that what you're saying?
They're in line with Ulster County's law.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the committee?
How often do you have to negotiate or renew?
So this is a 5-year lease.
Okay.
Anything else on this? So all those in favor of resolution number 67?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 68, authorizing a permanent easement to Equity Trust Company Custodial FBO John C. Iverson IRA for purpose of accessing the premises at 7 and 15 Dutcher Road in the town of Shandaken, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. I'd be happy to move this. Is there a second?
Second.
Legislator Kovacs. You want to describe a little bit of what this is?
So we received a request Dutcher Road is a gravel road. And
yeah, but you better say Dutcher, I think.
I'm sorry. It's a gravel road, but also within the county's railroad property, right away from.
Owned property.
This individual requested an easement with the county to provide his properties on that road with public road access. It went to the county attorney's office for a number of months. They negotiated, went to the county planning department. Also, they reviewed the easement. I know he's been in contact with a number of people. We just really, Department of Public Works just draft a resolution at the request of the county attorney's office, and we're happy to help.
Legislator Litz.
Just for clarification, that this is an existing access that has been the only access to these properties for decades. So it's not a new access, it's formalizing what has been used as the only access.
Legislator Litz?
Is this the only entity that utilizes that right away?
They will be.
So no one uses that right away now?
So my understanding of this property, which is in my district, is that I've been out to see for decades, is that it runs parallel to Station Road, which is there, mm-hmm. and it did provide access to the bat factory, which was made bats for baseball out of ash for many
Louisville
generations.
Louisville Sluggers.
That property has now been sold. That's not operating anymore as a bat factory, mm-hmm. and I believe Mr. Iverson has purchased that property as well as these properties where he now has residences that have been residences. The Dutchers and Dutcher family built their access, and the bat factory did use it after they built it. It was safer than anything else that had been out there. It's in an area that's very close to the stream, very flood prone. So after the Dutchers built that access and started using it, anybody who wanted to could use it, and the bat factory people did. The county, as I understand it, never challenged it because we weren't using the corridor in that area. And when Mr. Iverson came forward with this, I wanted to have the county do a review to make sure that anything that we would draft up to allow continued access to those properties would not impinge on any county access that we might need for the right of for the corridor that we own there. But
this is part of the UND corridor?
It's part of the UND corridor. But the corridor is fairly wide at that point, and so and this is closer to the houses than it is to where the tracks currently run.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Iverson obtained and paid for a survey and appraisal, and worked with the county council's office to come up with a fair price, which is not a large price, but it's some money and some legal documents for an access that has been, what do you call this, undocumented access, I guess, that has lacked any formal paperwork for at least 34 years. Maybe more. I didn't check the records. I just know that I've been out there and been able to go to those houses in the Bat Factory on that road for all that time.
County doesn't see any need or use of this property going forward? Because once you put in a permanent easement there, you can't build on it. You can use it, but you can't build on it.
I believe it's the railroad easement in that area. It's 50 feet. This easement is 11 feet.
And it's on one side.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that's the case, why don't we just surplus the property and sell it?
What that was an option that Mr. Iverson was open to discussing, and I don't know the content of the conversations with the Ulster County Council about it. I think Mr. Iverson preferred to go this route because it could probably go more quickly, and he has a buyer that is not wanting to wait.
I can understand he wants it to go quickly, but if we surplus it and sell it to him, any liability that occurs is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
If this remains county property and a liability occurs, it's the county's liability. Somebody, I don't know, they're coming head on at each other and get hurt, it's on county property. If we surplus the property, deed it to him, and they hit head on, that's his problem.
You make a good point. I think that for the past 34 years, it has been without any formal structures for us to be involved in it in any way, and that liability has existed and was probably greater.
No, that's true, but that's trespassing.
And if we have a permanent easement on it and we have certain kinds of uses that need us to go 2 or 3 extra feet, we have, I think, a better position to negotiate than if we sold that property outright. So we're, you know, it's less than 20% of the property that we own. But I think for us to continue to have a property interest in it does have some benefits that offset the liability you're describing.
I mean, prior to us entering into an easement, they're trespassing. So there's a weight to that. I think at very least, as part of this easement, we would have a rider on his insurance holding the county harmless for any liabilities occurring on county property on this easement.
Okay.
What is his plans for the property?
He is a resident in one of the houses, and he wants to rent out the house on the adjacent property. So a rider to hold Ulster County harmless is what we're asking for. Do you want to indicate what you think would be an appropriate dollar range, or we leave that up?
The insurance company takes care of that.
Insurance, yeah. Deputy Executive Laval, you'll work on that? Thank you. Great. So any further discussion? Yes, Legislator Litz.
Well, I was going to say, are we going to amend this resolution and then put it up for vote, or are we going to wait until that becomes part of the resolution and then we vote on it next month?
What is your pleasure?
I mean, I don't see the rush. I mean, it's not like we need to, we have a bridge closed and it needs to be opened. It's, and the statement was made, they've been using it for 34 years illegally, so I don't see it being an issue yet.
Let me be clear that Mr. Iverson just purchased this property in the past couple of years, so he hasn't been using it illegally. No. And it's some detail, but he had a title search done when he purchased this property, and the title company failed to identify this issue. So
he needs a new title company.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into that, but we amend it this tonight, it's an internal resolution, or would you be open to voting on it with the idea that we would try to get language that there could be an amendment that could be made in Ways and Means later this week?
I agree with Legislator Litz. They've waited 34 years, so another month long.
And that would be a change to the easement agreement. It's the resolution.
Correct.
The attorneys would probably do too.
Yeah, we can't do that. Yeah. Executive Director LaValle?
So there's currently no language that you would see in the easement that's moved to that.
I don't remember seeing any language on Old Harmless.
I'm really surprised if the county attorney asked to have this resolution drafted, that they didn't put that in there.
I wanted to discuss it with the attorney's office just to.
Because typically we would go to our council, you know, to vet this. And if they're not asking for liability insurance on an easement, boy, they're really falling down.
I was told that the county, Belcher County attorney drafted this. So,
but wow, I'm very concerned now.
Well,
because this is low hanging fruit.
Yeah. But I have to say that I was not looking for that language in reading through this. So, do you want to maybe put this aside and address the rest of the agenda and see if somebody can find the look in the contract language?
I'll make a motion we postpone it until they put some language
in
it.
If I may, I know that sure. Dennis Doyle was involved. I think he's still next door, so I'll go out and nab him and maybe speak to him.
Yeah, I don't mind holding it up if that language isn't there, but I do kind of mind holding it up if that language is there, and we just
we're going to be here. We're going to be here for another hour, so might as well.
Let's defer discussion on this and see if we can get that issue resolved. Thank you. Is the consensus from the committee on that? All right. Resolution. Let's move to resolution number 69. Approving construction by licensee Ulster County Agricultural Society of a new pavilion building at the Ulster County Fairgrounds on Libertyville Road in New Paltz.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Second from Legislator McDonald. Donaldson, sorry. I'm confusing your names. Legislator Donaldson. And I don't see anyone here from the.
John Fitzpatrick. I'm president of the Ulster County Agricultural Society. This is part of a grants that New York State has been issuing to county fairs, so $96,000 a year. They've issued four of them. I'm looking at a fifth one actually. And we're looking at building a pavilion style building to replace a food tent that we put up every year. Not only that, but also for 4-H activities throughout the year and part of the fair. It's across from the cattle barn and kind of a kitty corner to the youth building at the fairgrounds.
Questions and comments from the committee? This will be at no cost to Ulster County.
Any overages will be paid by the Ag Society.
And this grants program from New York State might not cover it, but has there been any thought to adding green elements, either solar or any special soils or ground treatment that might make this hold water or sequester carbon, any of those kinds of things?
Yeah, I could ask Gary. Gary Newkirk isn't here. He's the fair manager. I'm not sure if he's had any discussions about that at all, but I could certainly talk to him about that.
In my mind, it wouldn't be a reason not to do this, but it would be nice when you're doing something like this to look to see if you could do these elements as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I could speak to the state safety office, and since it's county property, I know they're dealing with the safety office, getting all the permits. Just like any other property. And the one issue that we would, from DPW's perspective, is that we asked for some type of ground scan just so you map out all of the utilities, underground utilities. I'm not sure if that's part of the application or not, but that's just our request. Mm-hmm. Do that prior to starting any job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're talking about the pavilion at the fairgrounds, and then we're going to come back to the property out in Chandaken. Any other questions about this pavilion? It is a site that has a cost every year for renting a tent, and so it's a predictable cost, and it's probably a plastic or plastic-like tent, and so having something that's a more permanent structure has an appeal to me. And that particular spot has been used for this so long that I don't think anybody would think of it as some area being taken away from their usage. It would be going to the same uses that have been there for the past many years, decades.
It's just the cover.
It's just the cover. Yeah.
That's it. The grass and everything else will probably stay. It's just cover.
All right. Hearing no further discussion, I'll call the question on resolution number 69. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. And now we'll go back. We had the question on resolution number 68 about permanent easement to property in Chandaken, with legislator Litz asking if the contract contains or could be made to contain to hold a rider to hold Ulster County harmless, since we're granting an easement and the county will technically still be the owner of the property. Have we covered our potential liability in terms of any insurance requirement?
So I haven't seen the contract, so I don't know, but indemnifications are not unusual in this instance. We do have indemnifications, as I recall. I'd like to look at the state of the practice. But I believe we do take indemnifications for the most recent crossing that we have for a housing project. I recall had an indemnification clause in it. And I believe that there's an easement up there for a water line on our railroad as well from Orta, and that has an indemnification clause in it as well. We're actually going to be coming back to you to redo that easement. Because of the failure to file. So the idea of essentially thinking about an indemnification clause, it's not there. I certainly wouldn't think that it should be problematic, but we come back and talk about the state of the art. I know that the property owner wants to sell, and access is a problem relative to sale, but I don't know whether there's any timeliness relative to if the committee wants to vote on it, and okay, come back to you and see what that looks like. Or you could approve it with that requirement that essentially the easement comes with an idea that essentially there's an indemnification clause.
Thank you, Director Doyle, Planning Director Doyle. My inclination would be to do the latter that the Planning Director has suggested. If we approve this tonight, that'd be up to the vote of the committee, but if it moved forward out of this committee and we had that condition, it could be stopped at Ways and Means, and then this could be addressed in exactly the way that has been proposed by Legislator Litz. If, on the other hand, we find out that it already has that clause in it, which seems likely, then it would be able to go forward without the property owner being held up from selling the property. It'd make a difference of a month, in which the property owner has asked that we move with all deliberate speed to accomplish this. And as I say, if you're certain that that language is not there, Legislator Litz, then I'm more persuaded to hold it up. Otherwise, I'd be inclined to call for the vote and urge people to move it out.
Do we have a copy of the easement?
Yes, it's in our OneDrive, I believe. Great.
That's
so
great.
We'll
Thank
put
you.
This one aside again. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we can try to get an actual answer to this. Thank you.
As I said, you could, even if it's not there, you could pass it through on the basis that we added, because it would not be, from my perspective, I don't think it's an unusual practice.
Yeah, it seems like it would be boilerplate language to add in if it's missing. But we'll hold it aside and see if we can get a complete answer before we take a complete vote or do something else with it. Thank you. You're welcome to stay with us if you have.
All right. Double on the other side of that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Double booked.
And I will wait for Clerk Tierney to return so that he can have a full record here. We are being recorded and online, but I don't think it'll take him long to bring us those materials. Maybe what we could do is jump down. We have two other resolutions to discuss, but I did want to provide some time to have some discussion with the agencies. So UCAT, I think, is going to be a little longer discussion, so maybe we'll hold you for now. And I don't think that anybody here from the college. Does DTW have any things that you would like the new and returning legislators to think about, or do we have any questions from this group for Department of Public Works?
Start with questions first, yeah. I guess.
Questions first?
Well, I have some things for new business, but I'd like to have them recorded.
Okay, fair enough. They're being recorded, but let's not do anything substantive in the absence of our legislative clerk.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll go back to resolution number 68. We have in front of us the deed of permanent easement as drafted for consideration of $650. Permanent easement and Schedule A. And that's the Schedule A would be the survey, I think not relevant to the question in front of us. Located on the premises to have and to hold, provided that the owner has legal right to convey.
Schedule A. Did you look in here? That's the description.
Yeah, that's the description of the easements. I do not see the right of the whole bill. So that ups the ante of any action we take here.
I'll make a motion. We postpone it until next month, allowing our legal counsel time enough to rewrite the deed of the permanent easement requiring that the grantee hold harmless, a rider on his insurance or whatever to hold the county harmless if there's any liability incurred.
The grantee and they're assigned.
Motion made to postpone for 1 month.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That'd be myself. And we've accounted for everybody, so there's no abstentions. Thank you, everybody. All right. So we have resolution number, let's see, we didn't,
70.
We're returning back, did we vote on 69?
Yep.
Yep, okay, resolution number 70. Approving the execution of the contract amendment for $485,620 entered into by the county, Creighton Manning Engineering, LLP, Department of Public Works.
So moved.
Seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any further information or questions, comments?
Yeah, an amendment to
What was that? I missed.
It's an amendment to add construction inspection services. I had a question about that. Just go ahead.
Sorry.
Which bridge?
Galeville.
Okay.
The design costs were $99,720. The construction inspection costs are $385,900, coming to the total that is in the resolution there. Is it usual that the construction inspection costs are three to four times higher than the design cost?
Typically, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's also common that the person who does the design then receives a follow-on contract to do the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any opposed? Any objection? And concluding resolution, we resolution number 71, approving the execution of a contract for $209,400 entered into by the county. Is it Kone?
Kone,
Inc., Department of Public Works. Is there a motion? Moved by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Litz.
Mm-hmm.
And a brief description of the project.
So this Kone was they came out and they're going to do monthly inspections and monthly maintenance. Mm-hmm. Now we're 17 elevators in different buildings, various buildings. That we have. They have a plan that's based on code that they have to follow when they maintain the elevators, check the bearings or intercom systems to pretty detailed. And that's what that's going to do. This is a 3-year contract. It was competitively bid. Current vendor, Otis, did not bid.
Okay. Questions from members of the committee?
How long have you had the current?
Otis had a 3-year contract also. Yeah.
They're at the end of that 3-year contract and went out back out to bid and they did not bid.
This is through New York State, OGS mini bid process. New York State OGS contract mini bid process.
Mm-hmm.
There's three vendors on there, which is Kone, Otis, and
I assume Cup.
Yeah, I saw that there was no notation about the bid process, but there was a notation about New York State OGS, so that explains that.
The Otis has it now. Before Otis was Kone.
Yeah.
So it's Kone, Otis, Kone. They're the only real games in town, I guess.
How close are these firms to us? Do they have to come from a long distance to inspect them?
They have offices set up. I think Kone has an office set up in Kone, but that's where they have regional offices, Albany, Poughkeepsie, and New York City.
I would just add that I have to look up the details again now, but I believe it's the Otis Elevator Brake Company. The design for that brake was invented by someone who lived in Shandaken decades ago. So we have some engineering connections to elevators, and my belief is that they should all be properly inspected and maintained.
Yes, and we also have a third-party inspection company, an inspection company that goes out behind these maintenance companies and pays for inspection services as well.
Uh-huh. So they just do the maintenance and repair and then somebody else inspects. Good system. Anything that anybody else would like to add or question? All in favor of Resolution 71?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. I did want to, before we go, or as part of new business, given opportunity to the various agencies that we work with and the public to raise concerns. And so we were starting to offer DPW. And did anyone have a question?
I have new business.
You have new business. Do you want to wait and bring it up as new business? Or going to bring it up now as our first new business? Because I think some of the questions I've received for UCAT is going to be new business as well.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a couple. First one is, I received a letter, or this letter was sent to the county regarding some safety issues that the St. Remy Volunteer Fire Department feels need to be looked at on Union Center Road. And they detailed in there several locations. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven locations where in the past two storms the road has flooded or they've had issue with the culverts. I think in three spots they had either the county close the road or the fire department close the road because it had flooded. And they're historic areas, and you can read on there. 207 Union Center Road, which is near Rose Lane. There's a twin 24-inch steel pipes. The water came over the road 8 inches deep, and it took a while to go back down. I mean, in most of these areas, I think what you need to do is go out and take a look at them. From my looking at them today, the culverts do look like they're undersized. I mean, the one by Popple Open Road, is it Popple Open? What's the name of that road? No. It's Poppletown. Popple Open is south of Newburgh. Poppletown Road, all that drainage comes down the hill and it goes into a couple of 12-inch pipes. That's kind of weird. I don't know how or why that happened. There is another culvert there, but it doesn't seem that those culverts, the size of those culverts are adequate to take the amount of drainage that's coming down Poppletown Road. But that's for you guys to take a look at. If you just go out and take a look at them. The other thing is they were very happy that you hot recycled the road last summer, and it rides very smooth. Whoever did it did a really good job. But there's never been any backup at the edge pavement, and there are some drop-offs that are in excess of, probably the deepest one I saw was a couple of feet. So, I mean, it wouldn't take much to get your road off the edge of pavement and then wind up down a bank or sucked into a rock slope because it's going to pull you right there. Yeah, I mean, they should have been backed up right after you paved it. And there's no evidence that any backup material has ever been put out there. Anyway, so that's Union Center Road.
And you'll be able to forward that correspondence to you have it already?
Just gave it to him.
Great. Yes, this Deputy Executive LaVaugh.
You.
So for, I just wanted, there's been an ongoing project over the last, it's probably at least 8 years, between the Department of Environment and DPW to use a protocol, which is a multi-objective protocol for road stream crossings, where you assess condition, you assess the size of the culvert in relation to the catchment, and also you look at aquatic passability. They've been able to use that to help DPW identify, prioritize, and upside a number of culverts, and also to get grants for various other culverts. It's a pretty, they've been working with the Shokan Stream Management Program to upgrade the protocol, and there's even a really nice interactive map. So any of those types of observations about where those are flooding are very good data to also add into that, because it can really help substantiate like a grant application or moving one to action. And also we'll make sure that information gets back to Environment and not to CEW, because if the fire department has any photos of that during different flood events, those would be great to have as well. So there is that. Every crossing, road stream crossing on a county road, countywide, has been assessed. In addition, there have been summer intern crews that have gone out and done municipality-wide assessments, so also assessing road stream crossings for town roads and various municipalities. I think they're about halfway through the county. So those are hundreds and hundreds of culverts that are each one of them has a photo of the inlet, photo of the outlet, measurements, condition reading, et cetera. And it's all in an online database where folks can access it.
I would recommend that in programming that, because you do it with interns, I believe, take the roads that you're going to work on and do those first.
Yep.
Because this road turned out absolutely beautiful. And then to go back and cut across the pavement to put new culverts in is really a travesty.
Right. And I think one of the, in speaking to the commissioner, just in general, they upsize. If they're doing that kind of work and go through, they upsize.
And the culverts I looked at today are smooth steel culverts that have probably been there 30, 40 years.
Okay.
So,
they weren't touched.
No, they weren't touched. And to be honest with you, I'm very surprised that the county didn't look at those and replace some of those before they did the road rather than come back and dig through a beautiful road afterwards. But those are the locations.
But if you're ever interacting with town highway departments, et cetera, it's a really good resource to know that they can go look at condition ratings and get photos of any of the culverts instead of going out in the field and
Yeah, I am not sure who St. Remy Volunteer Fire Department addressed this letter to, because it doesn't say who it is. It says who it's from. But I was sent a copy of this. This wasn't addressed to me. I was sent a copy of this.
Yeah.
And he asked if I would come out as a legislator, come out and look at it. And I did.
Yep. And
and I was amazed.
We can get a copy of that as well.
Sure.
And then I'll also make sure that the chair, the clerk, have the link to this online map.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in, pull the photos.
Yeah, I mean, and I met with this guy today, and you know, he's not trying to start trouble. He's not trying to point fingers or anything. He's just concerned that with the drop-offs and the amount of times they had to close the road, and they've been pumping people's basements. I don't know, at least a couple of dozen houses they had to pump in the last two storms. It needs to be corrected. Item two, I received a package from a Vivian Anella, 265 Pancake Hollow Road. And apparently the DPW has been out there a couple times. You actually even worked on the DI that she's referencing in these photos.
What is a DI?
Drainage inlet, catch basin. I don't know what happened, but the water's not getting to the catch basin. Well, the photos are here. You can take a look at them. I can't believe the amount of flooding that occurred. And it's going towards the catch basin, but the catch basin's not taken, apparently. But matter of fact, the catch basin is in the middle of that pond. And the water is running down the road, across their property, to their backyard, to the neighbors next door, and they virtually have a lake, and the thing runs like a stream, but it's not getting into the county culvert. I'll leave these with you. And the water was over the road like 6-8 inches or whatever, and if you can go down and take a look at this lady's problem, apparently somebody's been down there a couple of times, and they did do some work on the catch basin, but the lady says it's worse now than it's ever been. So that's a DI issue and some flooding. Third, but certainly not least, I really don't know what to do with this except give it to you. It was addressed to me. It's anonymous. There's no return address on it. But this is not the right place to address that. But according to that letter, there's a lot of issues that need to be corrected with your workforce.
Just So I appreciate that. I heard there was such an anonymous letter, and that we tried to get a copy to DPW. And I would just say that I found the DPW team to be very responsive on these things.
They are to me.
So it's fine to bring them to this committee, but it's also fine with me, and I believe with them, for you to reach out at the time that you're contacted by somebody and get people working on it right away, and then you can bring back the question to the committee meeting and ask for
you can look at the postmark. I just got that. Like, yeah.
No, I don't know that these comments are relevant to what you just brought in, but I just want people to know, since you did do it by coming here, that it's not the only pathway. It's certainly a valid pathway, but not the only pathway to ask DPW to take a look at something.
But this is on the record.
Yes, so. And if you want it on the record, and as I said, if you send something during the month and you didn't get it, you can bring the question. I sent something to you 3 weeks ago. You know, can you give us a response? You can put that response on the record here. So either way, I just would like us to give really good service to constituents, which I know Legislator Litz is exemplary on that. But so that new people and returning people all know. And that's been my experience. So if that's not what you want, speak up now.
Any way you want.
Any way we want. Good. Anything else for DPW? All right. Could we turn to UCAT? And if folks need to leave, it's okay with me. But if you can stay, that's always great. So we have a couple of questions that have come up with regard to UCAT. And I think I'll start with the committee, and then we can have the public add in. I think there's some overlap in the concerns. Did you want to bring up some of your concerns, Legislator McCullough, or shall we go to the public?
I'll go. One, I think I already mentioned the bus schedule.
The one in Uptown, and you said it's out of date. Okay, we'll investigate that this week.
That's a very busy spot, and people need to know what's in there.
Absolutely.
Because kind of I took the bus, and I didn't know what time the bus was coming myself. So. Now, I think this falls on a new old business, and I asked this to get out of the way.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Just put them together.
There was a transportation study that was supposed to be done.
So. That is correct. There's actually two ongoing studies right now. There is a human services coordination plan study going on, and that looks at all of the studies, all of the organizations that provide transportation services like Veteran Affairs, Gateway, the Arc of Mid-Hudson, all the different organizations that serve people in this community. And it looks to have ways to coordinate those services to get the best product for the money. You know, it's to basically coordinate all those and find overlap and figure out what the best thing to do is, you know, so that we can maximize transit services and minimize costs. And so that's an ongoing study. The second one is a route study. And I've heard it called a route optimization study. This is something that was initiated probably out of the Department of Planning initially. And in light of electrification, you know, of our network, in light of, you know, changing demographic, this is something that, planning we do on, a frequent basis every, 3 to 5, 10 years. And it's to also to maximize our investment in this. So that's going on right now. We're going to actually kick it off Friday.
One more question.
No problem.
Are you considering adding more express buses to the routes?
That's a good question. This study is going to look at current patterns. They're going to take onboard, boardings and alightings. They're going to do surveys. They're going to try to figure out, what the public is using, how they're using the system, where are the gaps in that usage, and then they're going to recommend different things. Transit services are expensive. If you double the frequency, it's double the price. You have to, you know, staffing and rolling stock are the two big, you know, costs to that, and fuel. You know, that's also another big cost. So yes, that is going to look at that, and it's going to make recommendations. And some of those recommendations might go the other way and say, you know, we've looked at this area, and, you know, there's not a lot of people, you know, riding this route. We don't know what those are going to look like. Yeah.
I have an add-on to this, approached by constituents in Highmount, because an express bus for the Bel Air Mountain Ski Center has been added to the schedule, and it has, I think, one or two stops between Highmount at the far western edge of Ulster County and Kingston, where the hotels are. And the request is to consider adding a stop, even though it's an express bus, in the hamlet of Pine Hill, because there is a considerable, there are hotels, motels, and restaurants in Pine Hill. So it's a, what do you transportation people call that? It's a hub of some sort.
Yeah, that one has been addressed, and the stop was put in for that. Yeah, and I think that the goal with that is, you know, it's often scheduling, right? You know, we hire drivers, and they work 8 or 10 hour blocks. And we try to get the routes to be as, you know, consistent with that schedule as possible. You know, we don't want to pay overtime. That's a goal of, you know, UCAT. And so to work in those, we have to kind of know the route, know what to expect. You know, people are loading equipment, unloading equipment. And we want to make sure that we have enough time to satisfy, you know, satisfy the up and down trip and not go over that, you know, that 8 hour block and stick to our schedule. So,
but that you'll be able to do that.
That one has been addressed. It is on the schedule.
Great.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider having Narcan on the bus if it's allowable?
Wow.
And have the drivers, because my thing is, everybody rides the bus, so I think we should be prepared just in case. I'd rather have it and not need it than to not have it and need it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that.
If that's something
Deputy Executive LaValle, you can give us an opinion, and then
you said it's already on the bus.
I believe it is, to be fair.
Okay. But let's expand this discussion a little bit, because I had a conversation with one of the members of the public who's here who, for this concern. Do you want to introduce yourself and just briefly tell us what you'd like UCAT to consider?
Certainly. My name is Craig Kelly. I'm a frequent rider of UCAT. Several months ago, I saw a person obviously under the influence of opiates, and I got concerned. I asked the bus driver if they carried Narcan on board and if they were trained in how to administer it. And after receiving no, they were not, I asked probably half a dozen drivers, and they all said no, there was no Narcan on their bus. Mm-hmm. I followed up with Chairman Ahas of the Human Services Board meeting, and he assured me it would be discussed at their next meetings, which was in December. I attended the meeting. UCGMH Commissioner McDonald informed me that it was on all the buses and that all the drivers were trained. After doing some more follow-up and sending an email to County Executive Metzger, I attended the January meeting where I was told that it was due to a lack of retraining in October that it was not, and that I believe his name was Pat Carroll. He had retired, and the training would happen in the spring. Mm-hmm. Now, my concern is that she said that it would be on a voluntary basis. I would like the committee, gets being the ones who are responsible for overseeing UCAT, to explore this further and see if the participation can be made a requirement, because I foresee a situation, God forbid, if someone does overdose on a bus, well, that driver didn't choose to participate. What's the answer? Call 911, as you all know, it's often way too late. And so that's the latest I heard from her, but I just would like something, you know, perhaps you all could get something, a firmer commitment on that. Because I'm of the opinion that the reason what I was given was that it needed time to get the scheduling done, getting all the drivers for training once. But if that's going to happen in the spring, I'm of the opinion that should be being planned now.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments. I think they're right on target, and We can, I think, move quickly to get Narcan on every bus because some riders know how to use Narcan. Some drivers may know how to use it, not having gone through a Ulster County training. And I think it's also worth looking at whether we could make that a condition of employment that you know how to use that particular life-saving intervention. If there are reasons we can't, then if you bring that back to us. But I think moving on that as quickly as possible could potentially save a life. Second matter in the situation of an opioid, we can't, I don't think we can mandate that people do CPR training. Maybe the WB Director Parity can speak to that. He's previously had a state position.
It's not, it's strictly voluntary.
So
that's an employee program. Strictly voluntary.
The reason I bring it up is that if a person is not breathing and does not have or does not have a heartbeat, if you use Narcan, then the Narcan doesn't get circulated. And so just if you just inject Narcan. So there's a difference of opinion amongst different trainers of use of Narcan of whether or not CPR is necessary. As a physician, I am of the firm belief that CPR is necessary if the person does not have their own pulse and is not breathing on their own, because the Narcan will stay in their nostrils and not go to their brain where it needs to go. That's my personal opinion. It's not directed to any particular individual. But I think we should strongly consider making more employee education on both CPR and the use of Narcan available.
I just want to clarify, I was talking about it relates to use of AEDs.
Did you know about CPR?
As it relates to the use of AEDs, yes.
So that's the same answer. So the training for the use of artificial device, automated external defibrillator, which is a program that Mr. Parity headed up for the state for sometimes and inaugurated, I think. It also includes stretching and CPR as part of the training, because you you do the CPR evaluation of the person before you begin to work with the external defibrillator. So that program, with its included CPR training, is voluntary. So you've got a resource that I think you can draw on if you have questions in terms of what you can do and should do.
I'm going to put this on our list of things to talk about for the next few weeks.
Great. And I would ask on all these things, and we'll see if there's anything else. I think this is pretty much the list that I knew about, but that we include them all each as a new business item. And as you bring back replies and solve them for us, we'll mark them off. And if we aren't satisfied or you're not finished, then we'll keep them on. Okay? Yes,
the deputy director. Request that anything that you know about kind of questions ahead of the meeting. Sometimes it doesn't take much for us to get some clarity and have an answer, and then we can move forward on a next step. So please.
Yes, it's the same comment that I made previously, and I would say here that I found out about these requests tonight, but I agree with you. As soon as we get them, if we can pass them along to all the involved people, we can get it solved more quickly. Legislator McCall, did you raise your hand?
No, I think she had a card.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I had. Is there any old business that carried over from 2023 that we haven't yet discussed? Then Legislator Litz knows what to do.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Seconded by Legislator McCullough. I really appreciate the...
Aye.
Yes. All in favor? Any opposed? Any opposed, please stay. Any abstentions? Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you. Nice meeting you.